Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Friday, July 10th, 2015. And with me today, I brought them both back. Brian Chaffin, how are you?
I am good.
Excellent. And John Martellaro, how are you, John?
I'm all wound up, ready to raise a ruckus.
Excellent. I wouldn't have it any other way. I enjoy it when you guys are feisty. Yeah. So the reason that I have both of you back today is because we got several responses and comments to yesterday's show where you guys were offering up your perspectives on declining Apple Watch sales. And I thought that it would be really nice to get you your responses to some of the comments that we had. So I figured, actually, I should give people a little bit of a background in case you missed yesterday's show. If you did, shame on you. Yesterday, Brian and John were offering up their perspectives on exactly what the numbers that have come out from Slice, which is it's a research group. They monitor sales, and they're saying that Apple Watch sales are on the decline. And the question is this because of the product itself, meaning there's something that's not compelling about the Apple Watch, therefore people are not buying it? Or is this the marketing message and Apple just isn't getting the word out to people so they know they can go buy one? And that's kind of the clash that we had. And that has led to some great questions. So I thought I'd start with one from our show notes. One of the comments we got, which was from Kitty Katta, says, well, I like how this one starts. Apple is moody. And basically what they're saying is that Apple products kind of go in cycles. And my takeaway is that there's an emotional response that leads people to buy products or not. And that's actually part of the problem here. So what do you guys think?
Go ahead, Brian.
I don't know that I understand the comment.
Well, the way I look at it is, and I agree with Kitty Katta, Apple does tend to be kind of trendy. They push things on a very high level, emotional, dramatic scale. And then, for example, Thunderbolt is the future. You know, you have to believe in this. This is where we're going. This is our technical vision of the future. And then perhaps it doesn't get followed up on. Or the technology changes or it doesn't pan out. Or Apple loses heart or some other new product comes along that takes the wind out of the sails of the previous marketing. And these new iPhone ads are a good example of that. Just at the time when Apple should be promoting the watch, I think, they come out with these really interesting, to put it mildly, iPhone 6 ads, a product soon to be obsolete. I was thinking yesterday that maybe this has something to do with some sort of defensive move against Samsung. There could be stuff going on there that we're not aware of or haven't looked into, sort of trying to stem the tide of, I just read this morning about a new Samsung phablet. So it could be a defensive move, but it is kind of odd that Apple's advertising the heck out of the iPhone 6 and its camera at this phase. So I understand where the reader's coming from. The Mac Pro, it's 7.5 teraflops. It's the most powerful computer in the world, but they haven't updated it in two years and 2 months.
I read through Kitty Katta's comment. I'm assuming that's a she. I don't think she's talking so much about Apple's advertising. And I don't think it should be mysterious that Apple is marketing its moneymaker. You've mentioned that a few times, John, and I don't get why you're confused by the fact that Apple is marketing the device that makes all the money. I mean, duh.
Well, it's been shown that iPhone sales tend to fall off just before a new iPhone is announced. This is July. We can expect to see a new phone in August. This is the time of year when people are reading about rumors.
September, whatever.
September, sure. It could be September this year from what I read. So it could be seen as a way to boost sales in light of the fact that there's so many rumors about the 6S and the 6S Plus coming out. And since that is their bread and butter, it's time to put a little oomph in.
Exactly. Right? Yeah, sure. I mean, it shouldn't be mysterious that Apple's marketing the iPhone 6. That has nothing to do with whether or not Apple should also be marketing the Apple Watch.
My perspective is why can't they do two things at once? Why can't we have both ads on TV?
They're hyping the iPhone 6, and they're hyping Apple Music. So maybe they are doing two things at once.
Well, let's do three. Let's go for three.
Well, maybe they're going to stick with two. And when watchOS 2 comes out, then they stop hyping Apple Music so much and move back to Apple Watch.
Well, what I think Kitty Cat is really talking about, it kind of goes back to Steve. I don't know if this is as true under Tim Cook, but with Steve Jobs, it was always clear to me that the product or service or feature that he was interested in got the attention. And as soon as he lost interest in it, it no longer got the attention. And and that's what I think she was speaking to, which is a little bit different. But here's the deal with that. For Apple Watch, I think the executives, as we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but I think that they are still very focused on making this product a success, even if there are some other things that are clamoring for immediate attention, like iOS 9, El Capitan, and Apple Music. But I do think they all have a lot invested in the idea of Apple Watch being a success.
And the other thing I'm thinking about now is that it's good to be patient as well. With everything that Apple does and all the, as you said, iOS 9, El Capitan, Apple Music, it's wise to continue to develop the product, work on the next operating system, to refine your manufacturing process. And there's no indication that Apple's going to axe this product. But there is every indication that people love it, many people do, and that Apple is working on OS, on watch OS 2. So one can imagine that Apple's confident that as we go along, things are going to get better. After all, remember when the iPhone first came out, there was some problems, and they only sold a few hundred thousand of them in the first quarter, and then things got rolling. So there's plenty of time.
Well, I have a slightly less rose-colored glasses version of that same thing. Apple realized that this particular version of Apple Watch wasn't cutting it, and is pulling back on hyping the device until they actually have the one that's going to hit that sweet spot with consumers.
And what would they? So you're saying that the sales being unremarkable and declining has Apple rethinking the situation, which verifies what we've been talking about.
Now,
right? Because if it were soaring and doing really well in sales, they wouldn't be pulling back and rethinking.
And Brian, what you said actually is kind of in line with one of the emails that we got. And this is from Kenneth Marcus. He says that he thinks that the problem we're seeing with Apple Watch is a combination of hardware, meaning that that it doesn't live up to the Apple experience. It's too slow, and has some limitations, and that the marketing message just isn't out there. And what he says is that he thinks that Apple needed to release the watch to the public before the marketing and the capability were in sync.
Okay.
Yeah, which I think kind of fits in nicely with what you just said, Brian.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't know that I'm going to quibble with that.
Yeah, if you have no need to quibble, that's perfectly fine. But I thought you'd like having a little validation there. Now, another comment that we got, and this is from David Schwab. David, you can really write. You filled up my whole screen with words. That was really cool. So to compress down what David was saying, I think the best way to do it would be to say David is questioning the data that Slice has been able to provide.
And oh, so, I know, Brian, you had some thoughts on that.
Well, I don't cotton on to the to saying that we should disregard this data without a. I mean, so to quote Mr. Schwab, he said, first off, who are these people? He's referring to Slice Intelligence. I don't know anyone who's ever used their service, and you guys also said you don't. So their sample size is as large as the number of people who use their service. How many Apple users would use something like that? And the next point, where is their markets located? You can't project – well, you can if you choose to do so, but in my opinion – we should never project our own anecdotal evidence onto things like this. You certainly shouldn't use your own projections to disregard data that you don't like. I guarantee you there's Apple users that use this company's two services because they have Apple Watch sales in their data.
Yeah, that's a good point. Their data comes from the sales receipts that show up in people's emails.
Yeah, there's absolutely Apple users and Apple fans in their customer base for these two services that they offer. Now, I don't recommend being one of those people because I don't like the idea of having my inbox mined for data. I don't like it when Google does it, and I don't like it when Slice Intelligence does it. But there are people out there that are doing it. And that number is not going to be I don't know what that number is, quite frankly. I doubt that it's a small number. And as we said yesterday in the show, the art of projecting totals based on a sample size is not new. So I don't like this knee-jerk reaction that a lot of people have to just disregard Slice Intelligence's numbers because they don't like the results. They don't like what the company is saying. And here's the biggest thing about that. There is one irrefutable fact. In Slice Intelligence's numbers, in that user data set.
Which is probably fairly random.
It is probably fairly random. Within that sample, Apple Watch sales are declining. This is irrefutable, and like you can project project total results based on that sample size. This isn't new. I don't understand why people don't want to disregard these numbers. And I'm also going to come back to the fact that it's weird that we haven't heard Apple say it. To me, that is massively circumstantial evidence, massive circumstantial evidence that these numbers aren't great. I think Apple would be crowing about Apple Watch sales that were off the charts.
You're right, Brian. I agree with you completely.
Yeah, that's a good point. Apple does tend to brag about their sales numbers for a product launch if those numbers are really good. If Apple doesn't think that they're good enough, then maybe they're not going to tell us. And that's possible with the Apple Watch. And I say possible only because we don't know what the real numbers are yet.
Right.
So, yeah.
And Apple has said, didn't Tim Cook say a couple earnings reports ago that they were not planning to formally report them for a while? That was a sort of a hedge in case things didn't go as well as they wanted. And they could say, well, we told you we're never going to report it formally. We're not going to break it out. So we may not know anything on July 21st. We may not get any more details.
I'm guessing that we won't. Now, Mr. Schwab did make some good points. 2.3 million units. That's what we heard about in the first week. Of course, those numbers are just as somewhere between an estimate and a guesstimate as much as Slice Intelligence's numbers. Actually, Slice Intelligence's numbers are probably better because it's based on specific and actual data and actual sales to a subset of people. But Apple has sold a lot of Apple Watches, and Apple is killing Android Wear in terms of overall numbers. That, to me, was never an issue. But Apple's bar is so beating, we said this yesterday in the show, beating Apple, beating Android Wear at this point is like bragging about beating Yugo in sales. You know, it's nothing to be proud of. Android Wear is a flop. It's a massive, horrible, disappointing product line. The whole kit and caboodle. So beating that doesn't matter. The real issue to me is a decline in sales. Whether or not Apple has done well with the Apple Watch, the notion that sales would be as low as they are and then start declining even lower, that to me indicates that there is a problem, be it marketing or product.
Now, there's still hope. I mean, the original Mac had that problem, and there have been other products, I'm sure, that have had that initial early adopter rise. The question is, can Apple recover now?
Absolutely.
WatchOS 2.0 and proper marketing breathe new life into this? And can public awareness and Apple marketing kind of save the situation and get it back on the rise where they'd like it to be? That's the next question.
Yeah, and I have no doubt of that, actually, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that even though Apple Watch sales may be on the decline right now, this product is not dead. There will be a version 2. And I think over time, Apple is going to have good sales figures for Apple Watch.
In the long run, yes.
Yeah. Now, I'd love to look at more reader responses, but we're getting a little tight on time. And there's another thing that I did want to look at today. And these are the new commercials for the iPhone that came out. And Brian, you wrote these up for us yesterday. Thank you for doing that. And these commercials are very different from iPhone commercials I've seen before. I'm curious what you guys think of them.
I like the commercials. I like the way they were constructed. I like the visual aspect of them. I think the content is great. The only thing I have heartburn about is if it's not an iPhone, it's not an iPhone. My first reaction to that was, really? You can't do better than that? And my second reaction was, isn't that kind of nonsensical in the sense that it opens up Apple to some ridicule because it's kind of shallow and kind of nonsensical? It doesn't really strike me as the kind of thing Apple's done in the past. As being clever and insightful. And
it's very clever.
Compelling.
It's very insightful, John. What are you talking about, man? What are you talking about? If it's not an iPhone, I knew exactly what that, when I heard that, I was nodding my head.
Yeah, well, I know what they're trying to say. They're trying to say that if you don't have an iPhone, you really don't have a phone at all.
Yeah, and they're also saying that Samsung phone that your uncle bought because it's the same as an iPhone, it really isn't.
Yeah, I understand that, and it's sort of subtle.
If you understand that, then you should acknowledge its brilliance.
I don't acknowledge its brilliance. Well, I understand what they're trying to say. And I don't think
you have a disconnect.
No, I don't. It's a phrasing that doesn't quite nail the idea that they're trying to come across. Instead, it's overshadowed by its own simplicity and silliness.
I was nodding my head. I thought, I really dig this. And let's look at the specific message. And you've got the one titled Hardware and Software, where Apple, for the first time that I know, is touting the whole widget model in its marketing.
That was excellent.
Yeah, I haven't seen that before.
You know, we make they put it in sort of a cutesy way. I don't have the.
They show the back and they say this is the hardware, and they flip it around and they show the front and they say we integrate with the software. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, there was a specific wording they had, but they're basically saying, you know, we make the hardware and we make the software, and because we're, they said one of the only companies to do that, and really that means the only company to do that. They said that, well, I guess BlackBerry still does that too, don't they?
Microsoft, they do it.
They got Nokia, sort of, except they just light everybody off. Anyway, yeah, whatever. But one of the
technically, so fine. They make their own hardware and software.
They were right to say one of the only smartphones where they make both the hardware and the software, and because they do that, the thing is going to work better. It, like I said, we, you know, we've heard about the whole widget model from Steve Jobs. We've heard about it from other executives, but never seen it commercial before. And that was certainly fun. I'm wondering if it'll resonate. I guess we'll find out.
I guess we will.
And then the other commercial was called Loved, and it just says 99% of everyone who owns an iPhone loves their iPhone.
And that's from the J.D. Power reports, right?
I don't know what they were citing, to be honest.
I think it is. And those numbers don't surprise me at all, because I've seen data in the past where they have very high customer satisfaction ratings.
So in one commercial, Apple is saying, look, if you didn't buy an iPhone, you screwed up. And in the other commercial, they're saying, if you bought an iPhone, good for you. You made the right choice.
Yep.
There you go. All right. Listeners, I'm really curious what you guys think of these ads, because they are very different from the ads Apple has made before. So let me know. You know the routine. Leave comments in the show notes. Shoot an email to observations@macobserver.com or hit me up on Twitter at @TMODaily. We're out of time. Brian, thank you for being here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
And yes, thank you. And John, thank you for being here too.
You're very welcome. It was a pleasure again.
And listeners, thank you for your feedback, because I love hearing what you guys have to say. And I also love it because it gives me an excuse to bring Brian and John back to argue about more stuff. It's Friday, so we're going to take the weekend off. We'll see everyone again on Monday. I was going to say something witty, but I totally lost it. So I'll just end the show now.